Welcome to Excerpts from the Open Forum. On this program, we'll hear Mr. Harold Camping answering pre-recorded questions regarding issues from the Bible. Here's our first question.
Good evening, Mr. Camping.
Yes.
May I ask you to read Matthew 19:12?
Matthew 19, verse 12. Let's look at that. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of man, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Now, a eunuch is someone who is not able to bear children. There are some who are individuals who are born without the ability to bear children. There are some who, particularly this was true in the days of the Bible, that when slaves were taken and they were going to be, some of the young men were going to be used in the employ of the winning nation, they were castrated so that they became eunuchs. They would never have any interest, therefore, in women, and could put their full attention on serving the king who ruled over them. And yet he's also speaking of those who make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. That is, they decide, I want to devote my full time to serving the Lord. I don't want to be distracted even by marriage. I don't want to be interested in that. And as the Apostle Paul, he would be an illustration of this. It is not that God commands us to do that. He is simply saying that that is a possibility.
Now, my question is this. If God makes eunuchs the first phrase in that scripture, some were born eunuchs, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if God makes eunuchs and he can make heterosexuals, why can't he make homosexuals? Now, last evening, you said homosexual was in the Bible. And again, you compared homosexuals to murderers. In both cases, you were wrong, because homosexual is in the Bible. I mean, is not in the Bible, rather.
Well,
and homosexuality is a born innate quality, not a choice.
Well, you are right. You are right about that, that it is a born quality, just like all sin is a born quality. By nature, we are born to kill and to steal and to live adulterously and do all kinds of nasty things. That is the way mankind is. We are infected with sin, but God has something to say about that. And let me read to you from Romans chapter 1. This is what God is saying. This is what God is saying. He's speaking here about a time when there will be a great advance in sin. That is, sin will become more prevalent than ever, and that identifies with our time. We read in Romans chapter 1, in verse 21, because that, now this is God speaking, these are not my words, please, this is God's words, this is from the mouth of God, because that when they knew God, and every human being by nature knows there is a God, whether they'll admit it or not, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature, that is our own bodies, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Now, if that doesn't sound like homosexuality, I don't know what it is. It's men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now notice all the other sins he adds on. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, this is God's assessment of what's going on in the human race today. And we don't like it. And we'd like to say, well, homosexuality or some other lifestyle that we like is normal. It's just an alternative kind of a thing. But God lays it out where the truth really is. And he's saying, no, that's not, it is true. It's totally prevalent, and God anticipates this, but nevertheless, it is sin, and it brings the judgment of God. However, before we finish with this, we have to remember that there is a hope. There is a hope. We read in, again, God speaking to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is also right from the mouth of God. We read in verse 9, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that would be those who are homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. However, look at the next phrase, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, God in this passage is telling us that no matter how grievous our sin may be, and you're right that homosexuality, like the desire to steal or desire to curse or the desire to drink, to be an alcoholic or whatever, that's already within our genes. We're born with that. That is the character of mankind. But when we become a child of God, then God gives us a new resurrected soul in which we want to do the will of God, and we're not going to be a homosexual anymore. We're not going to be a thief anymore. We're not going to be a murderer. We're not going to be any of these other ugly things anymore. We have become a new creature. And that's what happens when we become saved. But only if we become saved is there any remedy, any hope for these for mankind who are in these dreadful sins.
Mr. Camping?
Yes.
Now, I have listened to you. Would you mind just listening to me for a moment?
Yes, you were. Excuse me. Let me just make a comment. You were listening to me. You were listening to God speaking, because I was reading God's word, not my word. You were not listening to me. You were listening to God speaking, because every word out of the Bible is the word of God and is super important. Now, you tell me what you want to say.
What you were reading is reading. You were reading about heterosexual people in both Romans 1 and in Corinthians. Those are heterosexual people you're reading about. You're not reading about homosexual people.
Well, the abusers of themselves with mankind, they are homosexuals. That is their nature of being a homosexual. It is the fact that they, instead of having a sexual relationship with women, a man with a woman, as in the marriage institution where it belongs, it is the fact that they want to do it with their own kind. Another passage to really emphasize this, God again, this is the voice of God speaking now, because I'm reading from Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now, that's as direct as it can be. And just because you're saying, well, I was born a homosexual, yes, we're all born as in terrible sin and a tendency to sin. That's true. But that nevertheless puts us in the terrible situation of being under the wrath of God.
Sexuals, Mr. Camping, you're saying then that heterosexuals also are born as sin in and of itself. Heterosexuality is a sin.
Well, not heterosexual. Excuse me, heterosexuality is not a sin, but every heterosexual person is a sinner, because all these other sins of murder and so on are a character of every human being. Just because you might have a tendency toward homosexuality, that does not make you a greater sinner than someone who does not have a tendency toward homosexuality. You don't have to worry about that. The fact is, all of us by nature. Let me read another passage. It helps us to hear God speaking to us. In Romans chapter 3, God here is speaking about the human race. Heterosexuals, if you will. Heterosexuals, if you will. And homosexuals, too. He's speaking, and murderers, too. And every one of us. He's saying, and this is from the mouth of God, in verse 11, or verse 10 of Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together to become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That includes me by nature. It includes every human being. There is none. And we don't have to look down our long noses at a homosexual and say, oh my, is he a dirty, ugly sinner? No way. Well, he is no different than the rest of the human race. We're all sinners under the wrath of God. God goes on to describe how he looks at us. And he's not looking just at murderers or at just a certain little tiny group of mankind. He's looking at every one of us the way we are by nature. He's saying in verse 13 of Romans 3, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Anyone who is branding the homosexuals as being especially bad sinners is not listening to the Bible. Homosexual is a sin, but so is every human being, even the person who thinks he's morally decent and clean. If he's not a child of God, he too, in God's eyes, is a despicable sinner. He needs Christ just as badly as the homosexual, or as the murderer, or as the thief, or anybody else. There is no one, the Bible says that, there is none that seeketh after God. We're all sinners. And so it's a shame that some people are saying, oh, those homosexuals, they're terrible. Hey, look in the mirror, sir. Look in the mirror, because you might not have any tendency at all toward homosexuality, but if you have not become a child of God, in God's eyes, you are just as sinful as anyone else, that whether you're looking at a murderer or a homosexual or whoever it is. We don't have to think that because we're not a particular kind of a sinner, that therefore we are somewhat better or somewhat in a better situation. The fact is, we all stand on the same ground before we're saved. We're sinners under the wrath of God. And please, we don't want to pick on homosexuals any more than we want to pick on anybody else who is transgressing the law of God. We better look in the mirror and make sure that I myself have become a child of God. You know, I have to say this. In 1 Corinthians 6, there was a great piece of information there, because remember when God listed a number of sins and said you cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and he was talking about every human being on the face of the earth by nature, and he says, and such were some of you. And no matter how grievous our sin, we may think that I was born a murderer, I just can't keep away from that kind of vicious thinking. I was born an adulterer. I was born a sexual pervert. I was born a homosexual. I was born with an angry disposition. I was born to be a rabble-rouser of some kind, and I just can't help myself. Makes no difference how grievous our sin may be embedded within us. If we become a child of God, that sin will be gone. It will be gone because God has given us a brand new resurrected soul. That is the nature of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You are listening to excerpts from the Open Forum on Family Radio. Mr. Harold Camping is answering pre-recorded questions about the Bible. If you'd like to hear more of Mr. Camping's teaching, you can hear and even download Open Forum broadcasts, Bible studies, and more. Just go to familyradio.com and click on Audio Archives. Let's continue now with another question.
Now, we have listeners in many places. We have a listener here in Holland, as a matter of fact, who is an Arab listener, and asks these questions. What was the end of the Virgin Mary after she bore and delivered Jesus? Is she in heaven now or what? And what about Jesus' brothers, for example, at the time of the wedding of Cana of Galilee? Well, as a matter of fact, the Bible does give us some information about the family that Jesus grew up in. He was born to Mary, when she was engaged to Joseph, they actually, in a real sense, were married. They were betrothed to each other, even though they had not come together at all as husband and wife. And then Jesus was born to his mother Mary, and she gave him a human nature. Incidentally, there are people who say that she was the mother of God. That is totally wrong to say, totally wrong, because even though Jesus is eternally God and never ceased to be God, he did not begin in her womb as God. He began in her womb by receiving a human nature. She is the mother of Jesus only in the sense that she gave him a human nature. Now, we read that Joseph did not know Mary until after Jesus was born. And then a little bit later in Mark 6, we read there about the fact that Jesus had four brothers. They would have to have been half brothers. They would have been born. They would have had Joseph as their father, whereas Jesus did not have Joseph as his father. And the four were named there as James and Joseph and Judah and Simon. And it also speaks of her, of his sisters, so he must have had at least two sisters. Then the next place that we read about his brothers is in John chapter 7. And in John chapter 7, we have an interesting statement that his brothers did not believe in him. We read in verse 5 of John 7, neither did his brethren believe in him. But then finally, as we study the Bible a little bit further, we find two books in the Bible, neither very big books, but nevertheless significant books that God used two of his brothers to write. That is, God, they were holy men of God whom God spoke through. No human being was the author of the Bible. God was the author of the Bible. But James and Jude, two of his brothers, were used of God as scribes in giving us a small portion of the Bible. And so now, where is Mary? Where are his brothers? Well, though, if all four brothers became saved, we don't know whether Simon and his other brother Joseph, if they became saved. There's no indicator. It would appear that James and Jude did, and certainly Mary was a saved person. And so when they died, like anybody who died a true believer, they leave their bodies and go to live and reign with Christ in heaven. Mary is in heaven, and James is in heaven, and Jude is in heaven. Maybe his two other brothers are, we don't know. And they're in heaven no different than any other human being. Mary was not a superwoman of any kind. She was just a woman that was selected because somebody had to give Jesus a human nature, and she happened to be the one that God selected for that purpose.
Hello, Brother Camping.
Yes.
I have a question. If God is Jesus, Jesus is God, why is it that you refer, or Christians refer to God through using the name Jesus? If, as far as I understand the interpretation, Jesus is actually a vessel that God speaks to believers through.
No, actually, Jesus is the eternal God. The Bible clearly teaches he is the creator of the world. You'll find the word Jehovah almost 7,000 times in the Old Testament. And that is, the Bible says of Jehovah, I am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. Now, the Bible teaches that Christ is the Savior. Therefore, he is Jehovah God of the Old Testament. He is the creator of the world. He is the eternal God. Now, we don't understand God. God does reveal himself as three distinct persons. God speaks of God the Father, of of the Holy Spirit and of Christ as the Son of God, and yet God speaks of one God. We don't understand that at all, but that's not surprising, because how can our little peanut finite mind compare with the infinite mind of God? God just has not designed our minds to be big enough to be able to comprehend an eternal God who is from everlasting past and who can speak and bring this complex universe into being. We can't understand that. We know it's true. We believe it because the Bible says so. But we very humbly and respectfully acknowledge we don't understand.